So we actually spent quite a few months prototyping a variety of concepts before we settled on something like Florence. It wasn't Florence as it is now. And then several months later, we're like, okay, yes, Florence.
The prototype was called Gary, and he was just a lonely guy. Actually, no relationships at all. Just him sitting in his apartment.
Yeah, you just like click pizza occasionally, because that's my life.
Can that please be the sequel? Can Gary be the sequel? Gary, do you want to play video games? Yes.
Yes. Do you need to go to your job? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to? No.
No.
I'm just like silent. My brain just like shut down. Yeah, for
now that the microphone's rolling.
Like, no.
Oh, now I don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
So welcome. This is PAX East 2018. I always do this. I start these and I'm like, where the fuck am I?
Pretty much.
And what year is it? So it is PAX East 2018. I want you to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kamina. I'm a producer at Mountains from Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
This is super exciting. Yeah. We played like tag back and forth via social media for a while, and the stars have aligned, and you are here.
Yay! The snow is falling. The stars are aligning.
Why don't we, you know, since you haven't been on before, and hopefully you come back on the future, because I love having people on multiple times, because eventually people get super comfortable with us, and then it's just like a hangout session. So why don't you tell like your quick origin story of how you kind of made your way into the business? Because I actually remember you when you were working at the Tin Man booth. I think it was like one of our first years coming here. So
yeah, it was 5 years ago. Facebook memories just threw it up. Oh, you made friends with this person. And I was like, whoa, 5 years. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
all right.
How did you make your way in?
Okay. So wibble, wibble, wibble. Back in time.
You don't have to go super far back. You want.
No, it's kind of.
When I was seven.
Actually, I am going about
that
far back.
Please do.
So I never really played games as a kid, unless they were super educational. So I played a lot of Caesar 3 because I was really into Romans and warfare. And that was like pretty much the only game my dad allowed us to have. So I'd go next door and play games with the guys. And it was like GoldenEye 64. But essentially, I was just there to get killed. They're like, ooh, someone else we can kill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they never taught me the controls. So I was never really a gamer. And then
the
when
GoldenEye days were fantastic. I mean, I think all of us played that game just to death.
Yeah.
I was never good at it either to be.
I barely worked out how to walk before I get killed. You know, that was fun.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm still okay at Mario Kart 64. So I still remember those shortcuts.
Of course.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say I was really a gamer. And then when I was 20, I ended up working in retail in a game store. And so started buying games there, started getting into them. And this was around the time of PS3 and Xbox 360 had just launched. Started playing games then. And then I went through a breakup and my friend who was living in Melbourne was like, oh, you should move to Melbourne and start studying games. I'm like, oh, wow, people make games. That makes sense. I could go do that.
Yeah.
And so I applied for uni, was accepted, and had to move within a month, which was very hectic.
Oh, wow.
It turns out I didn't have much stuff and it all fit into a van with a friend.
There you go.
And so, yeah, started studying at uni, but during then I started going to local meetups and then volunteered for local festivals and conferences, so things like Free Play and then GCAP, which is Games Connect Asia Pacific. Actually, I snuck into my first one. I thought I was being very sneaky with only 300.
Apparently you were good at sneaking into things because you were just telling us that you were able to sneak into PAX this year as well.
I don't
tell the PAX authorities.
No, I didn't sneak. I just walked.
Yeah,
pretty much. It was amazing.
Maybe that's your mutant power. Maybe you turn invisible for brief periods of time and you are not aware that you were able to do that.
Oh, my God. That would be the worst thing ever for me. I like attention. Well, not the bad attention. I like good attention.
Yeah.
I think I just get my I am supposed to be here face on and then do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Turns out I'm the organizer of GCAP did know that I'd snuck in just didn't say anything about it because he's really lovely. Hi, Tony. I love you. So I started volunteering for things. I applied for GDC to be a volunteer there. I was accepted. And while I was I decided, because it's a 13-hour flight, I may as well see a bit of America.
Yeah.
I was in New York. PAX East was on. So I went and, like, helped out Tin Man at their booth. And that was my first convention. And it was amazing.
I think ours was, well, let's see, 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. Our first was a few years prior to that, I think. Here at East was our first PAX, too.
Yay! Yeah,
and we had the same sort of feelings. It was just like, holy cow, this is wonderful. And I think there's only been... I only missed 1 year because I had a kid, and it was like right when he was supposed to be born. I was like, maybe I shouldn't go this year.
I keep hearing kids do that. Yeah. People are like, oh, I can't go to the thing. I'm about to have a kid. Yeah.
It would be terrible. Like, you're on the floor. She's like, I'm going to labor. Sorry, can't make it home.
Just need to be in an interview.
I'm at PAX playing, playing video games and being silly. So you made your way to PAX.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to kind of hear about how you guys got, how Mountains got to make Florence. Because I was telling you on the walk over here that it's very unique. Like, it's rare. I don't want to say rare these days, but it's uncommon these days that games really evoke a lot of emotions when I play them, especially portable games like an iOS, Android game. And I'll play it and be like, oh my gosh, I feel these things. So how did you guys come up with the concept of Florence, and how, like, tell me a little bit about the development process.
Yeah, so I remember very early days when we were just before we were prototyping, or like just as we're getting into prototyping, Ken's idea was like, we use our mobile devices for so much, and they're such an intimate part of our lives, and like, you can have that intimacy with your phone, and how do we create an experience around that? So we actually spent quite a few months prototyping a variety of concepts before we settled on something like Florence. It wasn't Florence as it is now. And then several months later, we're like, okay, yes, Florence.
The prototype was called Gary, and he was just a lonely guy. Actually, no relationships at all. Just him sitting in his apartment.
Yeah, you just like click pizza occasionally, because that's my life.
Can that please be the sequel? Can Gary be the sequel? He just, Gary, do you want to play video games? Yes.
Yes. Do you need to go to your job? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to? No.
No.
The
music is just sad trombone over. Sorry.
I'll see if we can make Gary just for
I'm
you.
I'm pitching this to you. Yeah.
It's just like
this is the worst idea ever.
DLC. Anyway, where were we? Oh, my God.
Sorry I came on this podcast.
Yeah, what am I doing? Let me just drop the mic and walk.
No, happens all the time.
So
you're talking about prototyping phase,
And so we were originally making something 3D, and like, it was about sculptures and things like that. And you joke about Gary, but the protagonist was originally a guy. Mm. And then we decided to change it very deliberately. Because the protagonist was a sculptor, and there was this point where we're like, oh, breaking apart a sculpture of a woman, let's not do that. And so we kind of like flipped and then started developing who Florence was quite a lot more, which was like really interesting. But it's like, even a year ago when we were showing Florence at GDC, it was so different. Even the art style was so different that it's like really fascinating to see where we've come in a year.
It really is. And for our listeners that haven't played the game yet, I don't want to spoil the arc of the story, because you have to kind of experience the story for yourself, and that's the important part of the game. But you really get to know the main protagonist, Florence, very well in a brief amount of time. What was it like? Like, I'm really curious about the process of creating her and how you were able to incorporate so many aspects of her personality into the game in such a brief amount of time. Because, like, really, honestly, I feel like if she was a, like, living person in front of me right now, I'd be able to pick her out in a crowd and be like, that's her.
Yeah.
And that's really cool that you guys were able to make a person, you know, in such a brief amount of time.
Yeah, it's, like, really, really interesting, because I remember this point where Florence is listening to music on her phone, and we actually had a discussion in the office about what would Florence be listening to, and we were all very similar in the kind of, like, poppy bop, like, yeah, just like pop music would be kind of her jam, because she's not really adventurous and things like that. And so we have had so many discussions within the office of who is Florence and who is Krish. And I think it's kind of like looking at how Krish evolved kind of also looks at how Florence evolved, because there was a moment like, how do we introduce Krish? How do we talk about what he likes and what he wants? Because you only see a brief glimpse of his life through Florence's eyes.
Right.
And yeah, like, that was an original level of like, we had called His World, where like you build this puzzle piece around Krish and it shows all the things that he's interested in.
Mm.
And a lot of those elements actually came through in moving in, because that's the point where you really start to see his physical belongings. Oh, also in his room when he's tidying. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually identify really with Krish. He's a lot more me than, yeah. or I'm a lot more him than, yeah, necessarily Florence.
I mean, there's so many really, you know, listening to you talk, there's so many really brilliant mechanics. And the one that I was sitting there at the airport when I played it, about ready to fly, and there was one mechanic that really stood out to me. That was just, I was like, holy cow, this is absolutely genius. And I don't want to spoil, I guess it won't spoil it too much for our listeners, but there's an argument that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because this is like a while ago that I played it. So if I'm wrong, be like, no, that's wrong. but there's an argument that happens, and you're essentially putting puzzle pieces together.
Yep.
And as the argument progresses, the puzzle pieces get more challenging. And then the discussion starts to change, and the size of the puzzle pieces change as well. Am I correct?
So, number of pieces change.
Number of pieces change. But anyway, it's a way of conveying the challenge of conversation through the difficulty of the puzzles. Is that kind of right?
That is really interesting, because like that speech bubbles mechanic is like one of the oldest mechanics we've had and survived quite a few cuts when we were trying to get each emotional beat where it is. And yeah, like I remember like the guys are like, so the original conversation is like words are getting easier and conversation is getting easier. And I was like, I remember looking and going, is it just going to seem like things are getting simpler? And yeah. But I just meant like monosyllabic as opposed to easier conversation flow. But yeah, everyone's been picking up on like the speeches as like this really tiny, huge bit. And
it
it's
really
like
is.
Really great to see
it was very, very smart, because it shows that you're the main protagonist, Florence, is becoming more comfortable with him.
Yeah.
And then as things happen in the story, maybe it goes the other way. And it's just a way of showing that to the player and conveying that to the player in a really non-traditional way that I thought was just very, very smart.
Yeah.
The other thing that really stood out to me, and I've read a couple of reviews of the game that said the same thing. Music is brilliant, and it plays a huge part in the narrative as well.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because is it all original?
Yes.
It's all original music. Yep. What was that like, sort of getting that made and built around the game? What was that process like?
That was really like, so our composer, Kevin Penkin, he is amazing. And so he and Ken would have so many conversations, and particularly over Slack as well, which makes it even more amazing, because Kevin lives in the UK. He's Australian originally, but yeah, those two like worked out the communication style, and sometimes I describe the music as a third character because it does play such an important role in the game. But yeah, having Kevin on board was really great, and he came down for PAX Australia, which gave him and Ken a lot of time to actually nail down what they wanted and how to communicate.
Finally communicating in person,
Yeah, which makes a huge difference. And like from that, it was just flowed smoothly.
That's great. So is your team, do you guys work out of a studio, or are you all a remote team, like a remote team?
So there's four of us in the Mountains team, and then we contracted out. So it's myself, Ken Wong, Tony Coccoluzzi, and Sam Crisp. And so Tony and Sam are our programmers, and Ken is artist and designer.
Okay.
But we also hired a narrative consultant, Brooke Maggs, who is amazing, and I love her, and like Kevin as well, who is amazing, and I love him too, just not to play favorites. But it was all mostly on site except for Kevin, of course, who
so
was off site.
Traditional sort of studio setting.
Yeah.
You know, the game obviously touches on, again, I don't want to spoil too much, I'll be vague. It's about a relationship. The whole game is about a relationship. How much did you guys pull from your personal lives when building out the narrative of Florence and what she was going through? Like, does it actually parallel any of your own lives? Because, like, I felt like, as a dude, I'm like, this is my relationship with my girlfriend when I was 20 years old, almost exactly. So when it was done, I was just like, that was hard watching that again happen.
Yep.
So what was, you know, where did that come from?
It is very based on personal experience. It's very much Ken's story, but there are elements there from each of us. I remember reading a review and it's like, oh, you don't like, oh, I'm going to spoil it. I don't want to
spoil it. We can do a spoiler warning here for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, everyone.
maybe 30 seconds. All right, Scott, can you add a spoiler warning?
Yay.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, spoiler.
All right, awesome. So reading a review and it's like, oh, like Florence shows that you don't need no man, but you do need a cat. And that is very much me because I was fighting so hard to get the cat in the end because I'm like, there's nothing more depressing than going through a breakup and being like, oh, cat, you're coming to give me a tan. Oh, no, you're right. Just cleaning yourself. Oh, thanks a lot. I'll just keep being sad on the couch over here.
Well, since we are in the spoiler section, I do want to say that the final message of the game is great. And I think anyone that's ever been through a breakup before grows a lot and discovers almost really like what they're capable of. And even if they go through a really harrowing experience with a breakup, they kind of learn to discover themselves a little bit more in the end, which is what happens to Florence. She kind of, you know, she figures out who she is and what she wants to do. And the relationship made her bigger and stronger. Was that always sort of your goal with the narrative to be like, she ends up happier than she was and more independent and more successful? Or was it like, was she ever in a dark place or anything of that nature?
So the ending actually changed a lot. We were discussing having Krish come back, but mechanically, because of certain things that we've done previously in the game, we kind of trained the player to a certain behavior. So what we wanted to have the choice at the end happen wasn't going to work. So I think like the story of Florence grew as we all kind of grew ourselves. And so, yeah, I felt very strongly that Florence did, like, she didn't need to have Krish come back. And like, it's like those movies. Sometimes you don't have that happy ending, and that's just as valid because the happy ending really is how you grow as a person.
Right. And we actually, he and I have been talking about this, Matt and I have been talking about it all weekend, how, you know, life in your early 20s when you're like figuring stuff out is a real big challenge.
Yeah.
You fuck up all the time and you go through bad relationships all the time, and then all of a sudden you realize like, I'm not 20 anymore and I understand more about the world. And there's a lot of that in Florence, which I really like and appreciate, which I think is super cool.
I feel like there's a lot of me in there as well, like in that kind of process. Particularly as I'm half Japanese, and so like I remember having a conversation with my mom soon after the game had launched, and we have hot deskers occasionally come in and work at Mountains and like use our spare desk. And Cole, she was like, I didn't realize how true to life that call was. And I'm like, yep, that's hashtag Asian mom. So, yeah.
My mother-in-law's the same way. Exactly the same way. Do you have time for some lightning round silly questions?
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Drop bears and all sorts of fun.
Oh, my God. Yes. No. Yes.
All right.
Drop bears are our secret.
Usually the first time we have people on the show, we ask them a series of what we call the lightning round questions. They're dumb. We think that you're going to like them. The first question that we usually ask is, let's start with, you're stranded on a desert island.
Yes.
And a box washes up on shore.
Yes.
What is inside the box?
Why did my head go to severed head? That wouldn't help me at all.
No, it wouldn't help you at all.
Unless I have fire. I would hope for books. Books
fire
are
to
always
cook the head
good.
Or fire for another?
Probably to cook the head because you don't want the brain prions that are all like bad and give you like diseases.
That's a beautiful answer.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're just in a dark place right now.
I'm full of sparkles and sunshine and glitter, and apparently inside just really
once
macabre.
The box shows up, it's all severed heads.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay,
ew.
So we have severed head is the first answer. The next question that we typically ask is, what is the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theater?
I think it was The Lion King. Oh, no, it was Fantasia.
Fantasia?
No, Fantasia. Yeah, the re-release of Fantasia.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, my dad.
It's weird how you always remember that.
Yeah.
You always remember your first movie.
My dad took me to that several times, and I was always terrified of Night on Bald Mountain because it's like giant beastie creature playing with all the people, and then Ave Maria plays, and I'm like, oh, they're all dead, and they're doing their like limbo pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might explain the severed heads.
That's a very good one. Here's the one I like a lot. Would you get along with a 16-year-old version of yourself?
Oh, dear God, no. Probably not. Yeah. I was me, but a lot more me.
Yeah.
I've mellowed. I've chilled.
That's
cool.
I mean, again, we've been talking about this all weekend. That's a hard age. Like, and I've said it before on the show, but if I were ever to go back and meet 16-year-old me, I don't know what I would do. I would give myself a noogie or something.
Yeah, I'd probably just, like, give myself a bit of a smackdown and be like, no, not that one. Not that. He is bad. Don't. No. Bad.
Yeah. The next question is, there's a game that involves a ball that you roll down a lane,
mm-hmm.
and then there's things on the other side that you hit with the ball. What is the game called, and what are the things that you hit with a ball called?
I just thought about the bowling pins, really. Giant okay. foam bowling pins, because that would be amazing if you had a giant ball. But also, I come from Melbourne. A lot of our laneways are like with okay. cafes and outdoor seating, so I feel like
bowling pins, bowling. Okay.
Or people sitting
at cafes. I've encountered Australians that call them Skittles.
Oh yeah, that would work too.
Can you believe that?
Why are they not Skittles?
No.
I don't know.
I felt forced into that.
Skittles.
Okay. Skittles. Yeah. I'll try not to fight you on it.
I had never heard that until a couple of years ago. Yeah. That they're called Skittles over there. Skittles is just a candy over here that we don't call them Skittles. So that blew my mind.
We have Skittles candy too. Yeah.
The bird is freaking me out. This is a
teeny tiny dinosaur.
Many whimsical.
Yes.
Words for many things.
Yes. It's like there was this great moment in Fury Road where one of the characters says, fang it. Yeah. And I remember seeing the Tumblr post and it's like, oh my God, they did so much like world building and language building and all the rest. And Australians are just like, nah, mate, you fang it. Like, come on. It's like floor it, but fang it.
So much cooler. Everything sounds so much cooler over there.
Yeah. It's just full of they're all very like, fun. Yep. It's like the most fun way to speak about anything. It's just I don't know.
Yeah.
My friend dated an Australian woman for like almost a year, and we would just sit there and talk. And I was probably the most obnoxious person in the world, like trying to learn the accent.
Yeah.
We would sit in front of each other, and I'd be like, no,
no,
no.
Oh, I've heard about this. No, no,
no, no. Like that.
No. Yeah.
And she would just be like, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no. Nah, mate, no.
Yeah. All right. So back to what are bears called that drop out of trees onto people and maul them?
Well, we're very literal. They're called drop bears. You put a bit of Vegemite behind your ears and you should be fine.
I love this. Yeah. That this is a thing that happens. It's a real thing that happens.
Definitely.
All right. So our
Australian museum, drop bears.
Drop bears.
Yeah. Check it.
I'm excited. I hope it happens to me.
Yeah. Well, come to Australia and I'll show you the drop bear sanctuary.
One day I'll get there. So the last question we always ask is, the perfect pizza is one topped with blank. What
just,
is your...
Just one thing, or can I choose several things?
Several toppings. You can top any toppings you want. So the perfect, if you're building your perfect pizza...
So my perfect pizza is actually made already in Melbourne. There's a pizza truck called Soul Food Kitchen, I think, like that. And they have a wood-fired pizza oven inside their truck.
Whoa.
And it's amazing. But it's like a chili pepperoni with a bit of chili oil on it and just like
good.
A little bit of cheese. And oh, chili it's oil so, is so spicy. Good. It's so good.
That's really good.
But yeah, otherwise I'm a sucker for mushrooms.
But it has to be out of a truck specifically.
Well, I haven't had one as good not out of a truck. So
truck is a key ingredient.
Also, I don't know if I'm going to start something. I didn't realize New York style pizza was just folding your pizza over. I didn't realize that was a thing.
There's more to it. It's not just fold. That's how you eat it.
I'm giving you a look.
That's how you eat it. But New York style pizza is like its own.
It's a normal pizza.
It's a type of pizza.
No, it's just a pizza. It was just a pizza.
But it's like New York pizza.
No, what makes a New York pizza? I'm gonna start a fight, I feel. I'm sorry.
It's just a different. It's a different. If you think it's just pizza, it's because you got pizza from New York.
No, I have Italian pizza that comes from a truck.
Well, but Italian pizza is different than New York pizza.
Yeah. What is New York pizza? Is it just a bigger pizza that's like base is not like?
It's a little bit bigger. It's usually got a little bit more sauce. It's greasier in general.
Okay.
And
fine.
The crust and the dough is good. Versus a lot of other pizza.
So there you have it, listeners. Now you know the specifics of New York pizza.
That's the easiest way to eat a pizza. Like, I thought
that
was
just a
generic thing.
You're just a logical person. That's,
yeah,
that's
okay.
the thing.
Scott, you can cut all this pizza talk.
You're leaving it in.
people do. They need to know the truth. So where can people pick up the game now, and where can people find you guys on social media?
Okay, so Florence is on the App Store and Google Play Store, and... social media, we're on Twitter at Mountains Games. We're also on Facebook.
What about yourself, your own personal?
I am Spamoir, because I'm classy spam. don't ask. When I was 16, I got that nickname.
It's okay.
Yeah. So it's fine. Yeah. That's where I'm on Twitter.
Okay. So, well, thank you so much for coming on. And hopefully
you.
This is the first of many times.
Yes.
And have a great rest of PAX.
Yay, you do. Thank you. Yay.